Is your purpose-driven board actually effective? To achieve their desired goals, boards must analyze their decision-making processes and avoid deference to their CEOs. By Doug Raymond. Over the past year, issues of corporate governance have increasingly been debated in statehouses and on television and have even been trending on TikTok and Twitter. This kind of attention, which is unusual for a subject matter typically confined to boardrooms, academics, and attorneys, has been focused on large issues such as the purpose of the corporation and the role the corporation should play in important political and social issues. While this public discussion may have important societal implications, there is another significant issue that merits broader attention. Are corporate boards effective in fulfilling whatever goals they determine to be their primary obligations? Managing the corporation by or under the direction of the board of directors is a principle derived from Hoare rules of trust law, in which trustees would manage a trust on behalf of beneficiaries who were not able, or permitted, to manage the trust assets themselves. This precedent seemed well suited for the analogous situation caused by the disaggregation of capital from management that occurred in the 17th century with entities such as the Dutch East India Company and the further development that the owner's representatives, the board of directors, would also be separate from the day-to-day managers of the business. While for many years a significant percentage of the directors, if not a majority, remained those same day-to-day managers, this changed following the crisis in corporate governance of the early 2000s, Enron, WorldCom, et al., and the adoption of Sarbanes-Oxley legislation in the United States. Today, most boards, at least of public companies, are comprised primarily of persons with little direct experience with the corporation's specific business, frequently with only the CEO and sometimes a former CEO remaining on the board. As a consequence, while the directors of today's public corporations often have extensive experience in other, even related, industries, they typically are not as familiar with the corporation's specific situation and industry. Indeed, the U.S. antitrust laws prohibit a person from simultaneously serving as an officer or on the board of competing corporations, with limited exceptions. Even if those other directors are wise and experienced, their lack of specific experience may make them more deferential to the CEO who lives these issues every day. Moreover, in many boardrooms, the CEO is the chair and also sets the board agenda, giving them the dominant voice in the room, which can also increase the pressure on other directors to acquiesce. Added to this is the consideration that a well-functioning board must build strong internal social connections, where the need for trust and confidence in the judgments of other directors drives a collegial atmosphere that can mute criticism and active probing of management. What is the board's role? With these and other factors at play, the board should ask whether they truly are the ones calling the shots, or if their role is primarily to support management, unless management is at risk of running seriously off the rails. Or, as the punchline to a famous, perhaps apocryphal, story put it, whether the main function of the board is applause. This concern is exacerbated by the long tenure of many directors. For example, the average tenure of directors at S&P 500 companies currently is more than 9 years, and a third of these directors have held their positions for 12 years or more. While long-tenured directors have valuable experience gained in facing many different challenges and economic cycles, the longer a director sits in the boardroom, the more likely they are to become friends with the management team, which can lead to affiliation bias and even more deference to the CEO and management. Boards should consider whether they are susceptible to the type of deference described above. While a well-functioning board is collegial and respectful of all directors and management, boards should recognize that unquestioned deference can impact the quality of their judgment. Boards should consider whether they should take steps to offset such inclinations and protect the objectivity of their decision-making processes. Many boards have adopted actions such as meeting an executive session and separating the role of the CEO from that of the chair, which continues to be a significant focus of shareholder proposals for inclusion in public company proxy statements. A continued emphasis on director refreshment and a commitment that new directors have deep experience in the same or similar industries can also serve as a counterbalance to management. Some also advocate that most of the directors have themselves served as CEO of a similarly sized or larger organization, believing that such leaders are less likely to defer to management where deference is not justified. These qualities should also be integrated with a firm commitment to bringing real diversity to the boardroom, which itself brings new perspectives to issues that may not be apparent to management. Finally, boards should be intentional about their decisions and how they reach them. Boards should consider real-time analysis of their decision-making process used in important matters to identify possible weaknesses in their process, including whether they have appropriately challenged management. These steps, when implemented correctly, can help boards become more effective in carrying out their fiduciary obligations to shareholders and avoid corporate governance failures. Doug Raymond is a partner at Fager Drinker Biddle & Reath LLP, www.fagerdrinker.com. He can be reached at douglas.raymond@fagerdrinker.com. Federico Benvenuto assisted in preparing this column.